Okay, let's get started on week five of Ripped from the Headlines. The first article that we're going to talk about is very, very interesting. It was actually sent to me by Elaine, so thank her for that if she comes tonight or next week or whenever she'll next be here. I'm surprised that we have so many people on Hanukkah, so good job. So it starts off, mocking Absidi's name was wrong, but so is setting a child up for mockery, by Vinay Menon, or however you pronounce that, Toronto Star, November 30th, 2018. And the truth is, I'm going to say in advance, this is a little bit of a harsh article, I will admit, but still, you know, an interesting one nevertheless. You'll also notice I took out some of the names that were in the article later on. They're in censored with stars. Not all the names named in the article were all that appropriate, so just a heads up about that when you get to the censoreds. Okay, as someone who grew up with an unusual name, my heart goes out to five-year-old Absidy and the ordeal she recently endured as an airline passenger. Before a flight from California to Texas this month, the girl's moniker, Absidy, is pronounced Absidy, caught the attention of an employee with Southwest Airlines. That really loses its effect when you're reading it out loud. If anybody's listening to this recording, they're just going to be confused. Absidy is spelled A-B-C-D-E. So it caught the attention of an employee with Southwest Airlines. It was as if the kid had three heads. In an interview with an ABC affiliate in Los Angeles, the girl's mother...
Perfect network to...
The girl's mother recalled what happened next. The gate agent started laughing, pointing at me and my daughter, talking to other employees, says Tracy Redford. So I turned around and said, hey, if I can hear you, my daughter can hear you. So I'd appreciate if you'd just stop. Remember that line, that's actually going to come back when we get to more of the halacha part. It's not actually on the sheet, but I will talk about it a little bit. But it seems the gate agent was just getting started. While I was sitting there, she took a picture of my boarding pass and chose to post it on social media, mocking my daughter, said Redford, who tried to convert the ridicule into a teachable moment. Absidy said, Mom, why is she laughing at my name? And I said, not everyone is nice and not everyone's going to be nice and it's unfortunate. Exactly. The actions of this gate agent were unfortunate and unprofessional. No child should be openly teased, especially over something out of her control. There's no excuse. That's why Southwest apologized, and yes, they did apologize. But at the risk of also blaming the victims in this name-shaming incident, are we just supposed to gloss over the fact that this woman named her child Absidy? Unless there is a family history here, was Absidy's great-grandmother a suffragette named Vij? Why saddle your newborn with a handle that is sure to trigger a lifetime of snickering confusion? Life is hard enough without having to spend the first 2 minutes of every first encounter saying stuff like, it rhymes with Rhapsody, or, and my parents love sequences and almost named me 3.14159265, which is ironic because that's not a sequence, but it is pi, yes. Remember, I just finished school for teaching math. What is the upside? That Absidy will always be called first when attendance is taken unless there's an Aaron or Absidy in her class? That by the time she learns to spell her name, she'll have mastered 19% of the alphabet? I blame celebrity worship for the spike in regrettable baby names this century. In a world of Snookies and Bow Wows, no wonder some parents are desperate to mimic heretical stage naming. These folks wrongly assume a peculiar appellation will give their child a leg up when it's far more likely to yield a thumbs down. And it's almost as if the celebrities are trying to corrupt our central name databases with their whimsical absurdity. On Wednesday, during the Tonight Show, Macaulay Culkin, if that's how you pronounce his name, I apologize if not, told fans they can vote on a new middle name he plans to legally adopt. The short list to replace his current middle name, Carson, includes Shark Week, The McRib is Back, and Publicity Stunts. But for non-celebrities, a weird name will not bring publicity, just shame. When Absidy reaches adolescence, I guarantee you she will spend hours pouting in her bedroom, wishing she was an Emma or Julia. By then, the airline incident won't be remembered as a cruel one-off, it'll be the first of many humiliations to come. If you absolutely must give your child an oddball name, at least come up with something on the human spectrum. Absidy reads like a shady offshore firm that specializes in tax scams. Absidy is a recitation and terrible password. It's not something an innocent child should answer to. While I'm generally against the nanny state, I think we need some new baby naming regulations. We have rules across the board for child safety, right? You can't just chuck a phone book into the back of your car. You need an approved car seat. You can't smack a misbehaving kid like they used to do in the old days. But what, naming your child, and again, here there were some not as nice names, does not qualify as child abuse? Right. Tell that to and then a whole other list of names. The bonus about putting in the censors here was that I actually saved one line, which kept us from going on to the next page. That was the real push. What some parents don't realize, and what sociologists ought to study, is the correlation between crime and weird names. And this is actually something that gets very Kabbalistic, not in the article, but outside of the article. I'm not suggesting Absidy will grow up to become an arsonist or an embezzler, but I wouldn't be surprised. In recent years, here are the names of a few lawbreakers who made the news. Batman bin Superman. I'm not sure if that's spelled mistakenly on purpose. Bizo Doodoo Zappity Bop. Bop Bop. Mr. Love. Donald Duck. Cherry's Waffles Tennis. Obi-Wan Kenobi. And a fella named Felony. If you name your kid Switchblade, you might as well consider that college fund's future bail money. Name your child Night Stalker and prepare to soon sleep with one eye open. Yes, the Southwest flight attendant was wrong to mock a child. Yes, not everyone is nice. And yes, the world is harsh, judgmental, and prone to ridicule. But if you want to reduce the odds your child will be mocked, you probably shouldn't name her Absidy. There's a huge amount to unpack here from this article. The truth is, this is like a great reminder of how vast Torah is. Because first I figured, okay, this will be good for a couple of like minor sources. And very honestly, I had to hold myself back from giving like an hour-long shiur just on this article. Huh. I said, you know, I want to let us get to something else too. But there is so much to talk about here. Especially, you'll see the two articles that I quote within are both extremely comprehensive on their topics that they discuss. And I would encourage you to read them if your Hebrew is up to par for that. Oh, here's Elaine. Elaine, thank you for the article. We just finished enjoying it. But you only missed the reading, so I think you're safe. Anyway, so number one is the idea of mocking people with their names. That's something that comes up a number of times in Shas. It's not something we might have expected, but nicknaming or derogatory names or degrading names is something that comes up a whole bunch. The first source, in source number one, we have the Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara tells us, anyone who goes down to Gehenim ultimately comes out again, except for three people, meaning three people who do any one of the following three things, except for these three. Sheyordim, they go down to Gehenim, ve'ein olim, they never come up again, they never ascend. Ve'elu hein, here's your list. Number one, Habaal Eshes Ish, one who sleeps with a married woman. That's pretty bad. That one falls, you know, into the right category here. V'hamal ben p'nei chaver barabim, one who humiliates another in public. This is something that we know. From where? Where's the classic source for this that we actually have discussed, I believe, in a previous headlines year? And more recently during the Parsha?
We've all just been humiliated in public.
Excellent. Well, well,
you're fine.
I was going to say, doesn't look good for me.
You're fine.
Right, we just had in the Parsha, like Yehuda and Tamar. It's considered like killing someone. Why? Because we have the story of Yehuda and Tamar, where Tamar was falsely accused, and she easily had the ability to embarrass Yehuda and say, you're saying that I should be burned because I cheated? You're the one who, you know, is the father of these children.
This is all your stuff.
This is all your problem. Yet she didn't. She sent, you know, the message to him privately, and he chose to out himself. And says the Gemara, based on the story, it's better that one should throw themselves into a fiery furnace, meaning that Tamar would have allowed herself to have been burnt, which was her potential punishment, rather than embarrass someone else. And so that's a pretty serious thing. And what's the last thing the Gemara says? V'hamechane shem ra l'chavero. If you call someone a derogatory name, okay, whether you call, whether you name someone the derogatory name, the point is that it's something about making fun of someone's name. And the Gemara asks the question, one second, Mechane Hainu Malbim. Says, well, one second, isn't that the same idea? If I call someone a loser, let's say, or I make fun of their name and I give them a new nickname that's rude, that's also embarrassing them in public. So why does the Gemara have to be specific about this case? That it makes a list of three different things. So says the Gemara, Af al gav didash baby shmei. The Gemara says, even though the victim is accustomed to being called by that name, and he's not even, according to some interpretations, embarrassed by it anymore, he's used to being called loser, still, same punishment. That's really strong.
Yeah.
Okay, to put it on the same level as those two other sins, and you know, to talk about, yes, and to talk about that this is even when someone's used to being called that, and still, if you use such a name, you know, you're going right down to Gehenna and never coming out, that's pretty serious. And that makes the next two Gemaras actually all that confusing.
I have one quick question on, sure. on that middle one. I mean, would the parent who names their child something that they will in the future be embarrassed by?
We will talk really? About that. That is one of the main sections of okay. the rest of this talk today. But we're going to begin with that, because that's really related to the article. Sources number 2 and 3 are other places in the Gemara. And they make very little sense in light of the first Gemara that we just saw in Bava Metzia. The Gemara in Tainus says, we're talking about the exceptional deeds of Rav Ada Bar Hava in source number 2. It says, what did he do? So they asked him, right? Shalu Talmidav, Rav Ada Bar Hava, Bameha Rachta Yamim, what did you do in order to be able to live so long? What did you do to be so great? And one of the things he tells them is, Volo Karasi Lechaverai, Behachinaso Varmila Bechanichaso. Okay, he says, well, I didn't call my colleagues by his nickname, and some people said I didn't call my colleagues by his derogatory family name. Okay, and this is why the guy's saying, like, I'm so great, I never did this. Excuse me, looking back. But he's, anyways, very interesting. Tosfos explains what this is. Tosfos doesn't really, he just explains what the differences between these two types of names are. So, Bahachinaso, this is the nickname people call him to embarrass him. It's like a kinoi, right? Mechane Hashem. Or Mechaneshim Ralechavero. So that's one type of thing. And other people say, no, it's Bachanichaso, which is the name that the family is called, says Tosfos. For example, the surname of his fathers, which we see in, ooh, Gittin turned into Gitting, I see, in my translation here of Tosfos. But in Gittin, you know, it's basically a family name, a last name. So Ravram Ibn Ezra. Ravram Ibn Ezra was not the son of Ezra. He was the son of Meir. But yeah, it's his family name was Ibn Ezra. And there are many, many family names that people call. So in that type of name, if it was degrading, should not have been used. So if they were called, you know, the blacksmith, maybe blacksmith wasn't something so nice, I don't know. And it was saying they're dirty people. I'm just trying to draw an example.
Water
I have nothing.
Carriers, I think were the lowest in society.
Sorry?
Water carriers,
whatever it is. If that was something that was embarrassing, then that's not something he would call him by. So we see, you know, perhaps there's something a little bit better about this, even though it's really their name. I mean, you're not creating a nickname and saying something mean. You're even just using their sort of family name, which, you're right, wasn't given at birth, but it's still something that they were called by, and even that he didn't do. And then finally, this is, you know, again, similar Gemara. Shalu Talmidav es Rabbi Zakkai. Okay, they asked Rabbi Zakkai. But Meharach Tayamim, same question. Amar Lahem. So he talks about a couple of things. Here, the distance between the question and the answer was very short. That's why I left in the first part of the answer. And in the other one, I shortened it because I didn't want to have to write, like, you know, half a page extra of text. So he says two things. One, Lo Hishtanti Mayim B'Soch Ta'alam Ushol Tfila. He always, you know, left the four amos where he was praying when he needed to go to the bathroom. And number two, Velo Kinisi Sheim Lechaverai. Nor did I ever call my fellow by a nickname. Right? And Tosfos here asks the question that we have been asking along and along and again and again. Velo Kinisi Sheim Lechaverai. And listen to this. Afilu Kinoi De Lo Hava Gnai. Meaning, he never even said, like, a regular nickname. If you had a Joseph and he was nicknamed Joe, he wouldn't call you Joe. Amazing. V'hadam rinan, and therefore Tosfos can easily explain this that we say in Baba Metzia, Teha mechan Hashem lechavero ein lo chelak la'olam haba. Haino bekino shel pegam mishpacha. That is a pegam mishpacha type nickname, meaning a nickname that is rude about the family, that assumes something inappropriate took place within the family, is mean, is degrading. But this here in the Gemara, we're saying it's an even higher level, never even to call someone by their nickname. So this is very, very... telling about how much we care for people's names, first of all, to be kept to what they were, but also how careful we should be about embarrassing people. If this is something that's repeated so many times throughout Shas, again, and again, and again, and this time is worse than this time, and that time's worse than that time, like, it's pretty, pretty serious to make fun of someone's name. So that's from the perspective of people making fun of something like this, especially when a name is not intended as such. And we'll see, you know, a little bit more. And you know what? I'm going to skip to source number 5 before source number 4, where he makes a very strange statement. That article, I could have just written down that article and translated, and it would have been a shiur on its own. There was so much good stuff in that article, including, you know, talking about places in the Gemara where Amoraim seem to call each other names, and not necessarily the most flattering of names. There's all sorts of interesting stuff in that article. It's a fantastic article by this Nachum Zev, Rabbi Nachum Zev Rosenstein. I don't know who he is, but yeah, it's a fantastic article. I'm just going to quote one little piece from it, which was very interesting, and I don't think applies to this case, but nevertheless, a historical curiosity at the very least. Yesh yakasvu she'asur lechanos et chaviro rak b'shem genai she'yesh bo ibud mashma'ut shemo ha'amiti shel ha'adam. There are those who write that it is prohibited only to nickname one's friend with a degrading name that loses the meaning of the real name of the person. Klamar she'ein bo shayachut lishmo ha'amiti. Meaning it's... And again, we have, instead of not no relation, we have not relation. Sounds like I can't speak English today. Meaning it has no relation to their original name. Why? Since only through this, it's going to be embarrassing to the person. Meaning, if you call someone an embarrassing name that's actually their name, you're not considered to be someone who falls under this category of mechanesh shem l'chaviro, who is doing something wrong. On the other hand, v'yesh tovrim to those who hold no, she'af shem genai she'yotze mimashma'ut shemo ha'amiti shel ha'adam asur. Even to call someone a rude name which is related to their name, meaning if they were called something silly, and you're calling them by that name, this would presumably be what's going on here. Some people say that would fall under this category. Other people say no. The other question, which came up in this article, which I did not bring down, and I was thinking about it, I went back and forth, I said, you know what, enough is enough. We have a ton on this already, is can you talk about this name not in front of the person? Meaning, this is only embarrassing someone. That's what we've seen in the Gemara. It's rude, it's embarrassing to them. What about if they'll never know about it, and you call them this name not to their face? So certainly we're dealing with an Isser of Lashon Hara. That's very, very clear from that case. And in all of these cases, I mean, there's a big underlying V'haftal Re'acha Kamocha factor, and just all sorts of mean things. Onas, Dvarim, you know, you can make a list of all the Yisurim you're doing in something like this, and this certainly would apply not in front of the person as well. Some people say, though, this ruling of Mechan Hashem L'Chavero, if we're choosing to put it in its own sort of little basket or little corner along with those other two very severe averos, would not apply when you're not doing it to the person. Others say it would, but again, I would strongly suggest reading that article if you have interest in this topic, because it's extremely broad and very entertaining. Now here's another great article, going back to what Paul mentioned earlier about choosing a name for a newborn, and there's a lot to be talked about, especially Kabbalistically. I mean, at the end of the article, we talked about, this person writes, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Switchblade ended up in jail or things like this, how names sometimes fulfill destinies. We have that concept in not naming after Rishaim. We're supposed to avoid names of evildoers. And some people go so far as to say, and again, there's more Kabbalah here that I don't know about, but I believe the Chida makes mention of this, that a name is associated with the neshama one gets. I don't know if this has to do with the Gilgulim and things like that, especially when we're naming after people of a previous generation. But names are something that are very, very deeply ingrained in our tradition, for sure, in terms of who we name after and when we name after them and why we name after them. We always want to name people after the bigger tzaddikim, after our family members who have passed away or in some traditions who are still alive, who we want them to emulate. So there's a lot to be said about names in general. But in terms of choosing a name, one factor is, what is the kid going to think? And that's exactly the way it's presented here in this article by Rav Samir Kohen on Hidabrut. Also an excellent article, Misaprim, in source number 4, when we go back to source number 4 on the previous page. They tell the following story. She'echad mechasidei ha'admor p'nei menachem zatzal migur. One of the chasidim of the p'nei menachem, the rabbi of the Gera Rebbe, ba el rabbo, he came to his rabbi, v'siper lo, ki hechlit likro levito ha'tinoket b'shem yenta al shem savto zal. He said he had decided to call his daughter Yenta, because that was his grandmother's name. Sha'alti et zugati, he says, I asked my wife, v'gam hi maskima l'shem zeh, she agrees to it too, which is, exactly, it's a bit of a surprise in itself. Siyem ha'chasid, that's how he concluded, v'tzipali ishuro shel rabbo, and he was looking for his rebbe to say, of course, yes, bifracha, go and name your daughter Yenta. But what did he reply instead? Achad mori giv b'tmiah. He responded, you know, with wonder. And did you ask your baby girl if she wants this name too? Meaning there's something more to be considered here. Sometimes, you know, the point of the article is bang on. You have to be concerned of what's going to happen later. Now, there could be a few ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it could be, does the person want this name? Think realistically, will the person want this name? Forgetting about any embarrassment they may feel later on. Is it the type of name that you would assume someone to want? Maybe it's an old-fashioned name, and maybe, you know, they'll be growing up in the most wonderful community where they'll never be made fun of, but they'll have a complex because they're named with a name from the 1700s. Maybe that's something to consider, and that's sort of this take on things. You have a different take in source number 6 from Rav Eliezer Melamed. He goes on to say the following. He's very, very into this naming after grandparents thing in the source that he's talking about there in Panini Halacha Mishpacha 128. And he talks about how it's best to give always the first name of the person you're naming after. But then he gets to the bottom. He says, Omnam, however, kasher midubar b'shem mishuneh, when you're dealing with a very strange name, she'alul ligrom lo agmat nefesh k'sheyigdal, or k'sheyigadel. Yigdal. And it's likely to cause embarrassment when he or she will grow up. Nachon lekovo k'shem sheni. It's appropriate to give it as a second name. Meaning, originally he's opposed to this. Now he's saying, in that case, it's appropriate. Most likely, I would assume that in some cases he would even agree that it's better to skip out on the name. If this, for example, you know, I can think of in yeshiva, people get called up for aliyahs, at least with boys. I don't think in many girls' schools they get called up for aliyahs in these communities. So maybe it's not so much of a concern for girls, but for boys, people will hear the other, you know, their friend's name when he's being called up, and that would be the perfect time to make fun of them because that's what boys do. So sometimes you can have a middle name that's really weird, and they'll be like, Zundel. I hope no one here's name is Zundel. I apologize. But the point is, you know, there are a lot of names that people, you know, may not feel are, you know, the most appropriate. And he gives a very interesting reason. He says, "Umin hastam gam hasaba o hasavta sheshmam naaseh atam muzar maskimim lekach sheken hem rotzim betovato shel nechdam." He says, most likely, the grandparent that the kid's being named after doesn't want their kid to get made fun of at school. I think for most people, this is the case. I do know people that that's not the case, though. I was talking to someone, and they had mentioned to me that they said they know that their in-laws and grandparents-in-law and are very, very makbid, that every single name the person had, first name is the first name, the second name is the second name, and you have to add on the Hebrew names, the English names. No excuses. And these people like are dead serious. It doesn't matter how embarrassed my kid's going to get, which is surprising. I think for most people, this is something that resonates. And you say, yeah, you know, I wouldn't want my kid, grandkid, great-grandkid, whoever's being named after me, you know, to be made fun of or to be laughed at. But, you know, this is not always the case, but a very interesting take on it. And he's sort of saying it's no longer a good thing to name after that person, because they wouldn't want you to name after them under these circumstances. That's a little bit different than what we saw before. And finally, a very interesting mekor. And with this, I should have mentioned this earlier. I forgot to mention it at the outset, but I wanted to thank two people in particular who helped me gather some of these sources. One is a friend of mine from Yeshiva, Ari Dyfik, who helped me gather some of this together, and also Rabbi Eliyahu Abbey, who's the Sgan at our Beit Midrash. He helped me find some of the stuff as well, which is, my thanks is to both of them. And we have yet another typo here. I don't know what is wrong with this week. In source number 7, Sefer Mitzvah Ve'oseh, that should be not a comma, but an apostrophe. So this is in volume 2, and he brings the following line. Okay? Uchidai lehazkir ma sheshamati omrim b'shem Maran HaGaon Bal Chazon Ish Zalalach. And he says it's worth mentioning that which I heard from the Chazon Ish. Shehayam mazhir she'ein likro letinok b'shem afilu al shem zkeino v'chadome im hu yodea she'atinok k'she yigdal yitbayesh b'shem ze. If you know that when the child grows up they will be embarrassed by this name, kigon im hu shem muzar she'eino matzoi, if it is an uncommon name, a strange name, v'yesh lachu she'il agulo, meaning you should worry about maybe the kid's going to be made fun of. So you as a parent shouldn't do that. Meaning we're not looking from the grandparents' perspective. He's saying, use your seichel, don't be mean to your kid. And this might apply truth be told, even if the person who passed away may feel very strongly about this, there's a certain achrayus, perhaps, on the person who's actually doing the naming to not have their kid made fun of. And dare I say, and I won't say it, but it's not so far-fetched to think that perhaps sometimes this is not that much better than Mechana Shem L'Chavero. In Mechana Shem L'Chavero, you're making up a derogatory name for a friend, and if you know that you're, you know, throwing someone into a pit where they're going to be made fun of for, you know, for the rest of their life, don't do it. It's a bad thing to do. You're also causing them embarrassment in that way, and that really is the point of the article, and I'm really seeing this repeatedly in this line through this, and again, using your seichel, this seems like something that makes sense. And here he has an awesome story. I couldn't help but laugh at this one, where he adds into the brackets, V'yidid nafshi avrech chashuv v'tamul chacham uflag, sheyesh lo k'tzat shem muzar. So he doesn't quote the name of this person, but he says, he has a weird name. So my friend, who's a big Tamil Chacham, who has a very weird name, a little weird name, Amarli, he told me, Shekvar tziva levanav shelo yikru livnehem b'shem zeh. He went to his kids, he said, you better not name my grandkids after me. And the ad hayom hu zocher habizdyonot shehayu lo bikatnuto mishem zeh. Because he still remembers, he's still scarred by the embarrassment that he had when he was younger. Yeah, you know, there's no point in embarrassing someone by giving them a name because you feel very strongly about it, according to these many, many poskim that we've quoted. Now, here is one that I just couldn't believe there was actually a tshuva about this, but somebody found this and just, it sounds like by chance, and passed it on to me. So this is from the Shaos Tshuvas Torah Lishma, which is a question who wrote it. It's supposedly from the Ben Ish Chai, but it's signed off Yecheskel Kachli at the end of each tshuva. Some people say because Yecheskel Kachli is Bigamatria Yosef Chaim, which was the Ben Ish Chai's name, so it's really him. I don't know anything more than that. I just remember I saw it from the Ben Ish Chai, and then I saw it was signed off Yecheskel Kachli, so I googled it quickly, and that's what it said. Okay, Sheila Be'echad she'ivita nafsho likro l'shem l'ben hanolad lo k'shem ot achat min chafbet otiyot alfa beta kigon aleph o bet. So this was a question of someone who came to the Ben Ish Chai asking, can I name my child after a letter? This is, I could not make this up. This is really a Shaila. And, you know, come on. V'yeshmon imoto be'amram lo matzinu kein lo barishonim v'lo ba'achronim shiyu korin ha'adam b'shem ot min ha'otiot im yesh bazeh eze chashash olav. So the question came to him is that people were telling you can't name your kid a letter. Now, no one said because he's going to be made fun of. But what they did say says, we've never heard of anybody named Letter. Have you ever heard of Rabbi Beis? Have you ever heard of Mrs. Chess? Well, the question whether Tzadi or Tzadik is actually the letter is a good question. But I haven't heard of anybody named Rabbi Tzadik. It would be kind of presumptuous.
Yes.
Anyways.
Especially when they're 1 year old.
So right. So his first question was this, and if he says there's nothing wrong with it, v'im tim salomar de'in baze chashash, im rotzeh likro lo shem be'ot achat mi'otiyot shem havaya, if he wanted to name him one of the letters of Shem Hashem, kigon yod, o vav, o hey, my, what is going to be the rule there? Yorenu amarel tzaka, something, scharo min hashemayim, scharo kaful min hashemayim. There we go. I remembered the Rosh Tevos there, and his reward will be doubled from the heavens. Okay. Tshuva. So he answers, Ein bazeh shum chashash v'yaaseh ke'avat nafsho. Says there's absolutely nothing wrong with this. He can do what he wants. V'ein mochin biyado. No one should protest. V'otam ha-mochin biyado. Be'omram lo matzinu kazot. And anybody who says that we didn't find this, to'im heim. They're completely mistaken. Why? And the first one that came to mind was this one that he quotes now. De'amatzinu ben hei. Kar b'mishna de'avos ben hehe omer lefum tzara agra. It's a famous thing in Pirkei Avos. We were saying ben hehe. Hehe is hehe. So if that's the case, he says there's clearly nothing wrong. Number two, we're in source number 8 now. Okay. V'chein matzino b'gmar detanit b'chacham echad sheshmo yud v'chaniskar sham daf chavez amud bet amarami bar rav yud upirish Rashi. Rashi explains chacham sheshmo yud. This was a person whose name was Yud. That was his name. So he says, it's not so crazy. The people who are protesting just don't know Mishnah, and they don't know Gemara. So don't worry. Hare elum heim me'otiyot Hashem, v'nikri ubahem. Both hey and yod are part of the shame of Hashem, and both these people were big tzaddikim, Tanaim and Amoraim were called by them. Go and name your kid after them. V'od kad tiduk timtza kishim Yehuda, asher bo kol otiyot Hashem, who Rebuta Tfei says it's a bigger chiddush to name your kid Yehuda, because that actually has all of Shem Hashem in it. It's just interrupted by a dalid. Lachen mikara in makom esafek zeklal. He says, don't worry. Vizeh shalom, right? Vekel shakai Hashem tzevakos yazeli. It should be peace. And let Kel shakai Hashem tzevakos help me. Signs off Yecheskel kachli nero. May he be guarded by God. This was like a Seamus test for me, because he had Kel Shakai Hashem Tzivakos. It was like, whoa, you know, you have to be very careful what you keep included in your source sheets if you're trying to avoid the actual Shem Hashem here. But that's a story for another time as to what exactly constitutes Shemos. Either which way, here were, I thought, a tremendous amount of very interesting sources on this one article. There is so much more to be talked about, and I really had to, you know, sort of hold myself back a little bit here. But there was something else that caught my attention, and probably caught most of yours attention.
The
law,
I've always told my kids, one of the things they have to consider is what the initials spell.
That's also true.
That is another good point. Yes, although I will note also personally, my initials Aleph Yud Dalid actually mirror my grandfather's initials. Ironically, not even from my father's side, from my mother's side. Aryeh Yehuda David and Eliezer Yoel Diena. They're both Aleph Yud Dalid, so any Hebrew cufflinks, you know, there's no one else who's vying for them.
And that was unintentional.
That was unintentional.
Right, so it's quite
it was
amazing.
Not, yeah. Anyways, I don't mind. Yeah. I get the cufflinks, so. Okay. York Reed, sure.
Okay, there was one, someone you quoted who said that if he has a bad name, you should use his name. Like, you don't use a nickname. I can't remember what that was. And some people, if they have a name that they'd rather not have, they give themselves a nickname that they would rather be called.
Yes, very clearly, if that's the case, and Tosfos there says, if it's a nickname that's given Lishvach, I'm not a nickname, it's a family name, but if it's a name that's given Lishvach that is a little bit better, or that it says something nice about them, like the tzaddik or so-and-so, and you call them, hey, tzaddik, that's obviously not a problem. And if someone, again, is embarrassed by a name and they're replacing it with a nickname that's not so weird and not so strange, again, using the same line of thinking that we're going with throughout, I can't imagine it would be a problem, and it would be even praiseworthy to do that. Right? Again, embarrassing someone by calling them their name is not helpful. So
it's funny, sometimes you don't realize that it's embarrassing to the individual because everyone calls them that. Like, I knew someone once who was quite overweight and everyone called them Tim Bones, right, on purpose, right, as, you know, the opposite of.
Right.
And once I overheard him say, I wish people would call me by my name. And from then on, I called him by his name. But, I mean, it's like you don't know because, it's, you know, it's just so commonplace.
Yep.
You just don't appreciate it. So.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Okay, any other questions? I mean, there's so much to talk about here, and again, we didn't even get into the Kabbalistic stuff of naming after Hashem and why and how it influences you.
And my wife knows someone whose last name is Shakespeare, and of course they called it Boy William. I mean, really, don't do that. You know, because people are just going to make fun of it.
We get more entertainment value, exactly, but this is, you know, something to think about.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to get back to that Gemara, actually. The first one that we started with, source number one, is actually going to play a double role here today. York Regional Police will now release the names of people charged with impaired driving. From 680 News, after another weekend of charging more than a dozen drivers with impaired driving, I guess, police in York Region are taking a drastic step in the hopes of curbing this illegal behavior. Chief Eric Jolliffe said they will now publish the names of drivers charged with impaired-related criminal driving offenses. It's clear that something has to change, Jolliffe said in a statement released on Monday. Effective immediately, York Regional Police will name all of the drivers charged with impaired-related criminal driving offenses to further make impaired driving socially unacceptable and so that members of our community can assist with notifying police if these offenders choose to drive while under suspension. Innocent lives are put at risk every day by this irresponsible and criminal behavior. We are not giving up. Going forward, police will post the names of these drivers on the York Regional Police website every Monday. Over the weekend, police in York Region laid impaired charges against 16 drivers. Could you imagine? The drivers range from a 23-year-old Aurora man who was charged with impaired driving, drug, while the oldest was a 55-year-old man from Newmarket charged with impaired driving, alcohol, and over 80. These latest arrests add to the more than 1,400 charges for impaired-related driving offenses laid in the region so far this year. That's here, in York Region. Yeah. 5 people were killed in alcohol and drug impairment crashes this year in York Region, police said. So we've got a serious problem, and the way that we're choosing to deal with this, or that the York Regional Police are choosing to deal with this, is by publicizing the names of offenders. Now, let's make no mistake. Publicizing people's crimes, once they're already caught, is not necessarily a simple thing to do. We'll talk about how this works within Judaism, but in general, for me to go and, you know, post someone's name up there on the internet saying they did something wrong, you're looking at very, very serious halachic repercussions. Again, we're going to talk about why it might be permitted and in which cases it might be permitted. Obviously, never coming to any conclusions. But you have a potential of malbin pnei chavero barabim, you're embarrassing someone, it's degrading. I mean, these are the types of things that shouldn't be taken lightly. You know, we've seen people's lives destroyed by comments on Facebook and cyberbullying and all sorts of terrible things that happen from people's names being put up on the internet or on the bulletin board or on whatever it is, whatever forum that people have access to and are being publicly shamed. Public shaming is not a simple thing to undertake.
I don't mean to be splitting hairs, and maybe it's not relevant to the halakhic discussion, but are they talking about publishing based on charges or convictions?
Charges.
Because if they've only been charged until they've been convicted, I wouldn't have thought that they could do that.
That's interesting. It seems that they're posting those that were charged. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Legally, I wonder how that works.
I
wonder how that works. I mean,
it says charged. I read it. Went back to read it as you were reading.
Yeah, that does seem to be the case. That's again interesting from a legal perspective. May also be interesting from a halachic perspective, as we're going to see. Either way, though, this is what they've chosen to do, whether it's charged or not. So let's try to deal with it as that. I did notice that in the article they didn't name any of the names of the people they talked about. Mm-hmm. Anyways, okay. I must have been really tired when I prepared the source sheet. I missed the last source. It's, I believe, somewhere in Perek Chaf Beis. I want to say maybe Chaf Beis or something like that, the last pasuk here. But I have Devarim Yud Gimel Yud Beis, Yud Zayin Yud Gimel, and this other, you know, unnamed one, which I think is in Parakhov Beis again. V'chol Yisrael Yishmu V'yiron V'lo Yosipu La'asos Kadavar Ha'azeh B'kirbecha. We're talking about public executions. And we have repeated again and again and again. All of Israel shall hear and fear, and shall not do any more such wickedness as this is in the midst of you. And all the people shall hear and fear, and do no more presumptuously. So you shall put away the evil from the midst of you, and all of Israel shall hear and fear. So when they used to carry out capital punishments of sorts, it was a big deal. Everybody had to be there to actually watch and see, look what happens to you if you do this wrong. Correct, as a deterrent. And in fact, there's a question of to how we execute people. If you look in the Gemara, in Sanhedrin, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in me'anin es dino shel ze alam mitino to miyad vechotvin vesholchin shluchin bechol hamekomot ish ploni mitchayev mita bevetin. Okay? Rather, when, you know, there is a question of to how we should do court cases, should we wait? There's one opinion that says, we wait until Yontif, when everybody's present in the city, and then we execute them. The other opinion says, no. You don't do that. Rather, you execute him, and you write reports, and you send them out to everywhere, publicizing so-and-so was killed. Why? Because he did such and such an avera, and this was his death penalty. Okay? I'm not sure what it means by disobeying the court. I don't see that in the Gemara. Maybe that was the case over there. Doesn't matter. Okay. And then we have, you know, a continuation of this, which is that there are many, many possible motives for public shaming. What might some be?
You mean apart from the one we mentioned?
Apart from deterrent? Can you think of any other reasons?
It's expedient.
Well, there are two deterrents. There's a deterrent for the person who committed the crime not to do it again. There's a deterrent for people not...
It's a general deterrent and specific deterrent.
So I wouldn't even call the second one a deterrent. I would call it a punishment.
Oh, I suppose.
It is a punishment. You know, if we told people, anybody who shoplifts is going to have their name on the front page of the newspaper, evil shoplifter, that's a pretty big punishment. It is a deterrent, you're right. It serves as a deterrent as well, but that's not officially what it is. There's the deterrent aspect of showing everybody else what happens if you disobey the law.
Right?
But in and of itself, I mean, and here in this case, it's even going further than that. It's allowing people to be aware of these people. It's like saying there's a criminal on the loose. Make sure they don't, you know, if you see them, you call 911. Right. That's not what's going on here, but it's somewhat similar. So anyways, you know, something to think about. But says the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, Tzarech Adam Lehizayr, Shelo Levayesh Chavero Barabim Ben Katan Ben Gadol. Make sure not to embarrass anybody. Velo Yikralo Bishim Shu Bosh Mimenu. Velo Yisaper Lefanav Devar Shu Bosh Mimenu. You shouldn't call him a name that he's embarrassed of. You shouldn't say something he's embarrassed about. Bamed Varim Amurim Bidvarim Shebein Adam Lechavero. Says this is only talking about personal items, one from one person to the other person. On the other hand, Aval b'divrei shamayim im lo chazar bo bistam b'seter. Sorry, if he didn't repent after you rebuked him privately, I mean, you have to have gone over to him first and said, "Listen, you know, what you're doing is no good. You know, you're not allowed to sin this way." And he says, "I don't care." Then what do? You shame him publicly. Machlim en oto barabim u'mefarsimim cheto u'mecharfin oto b'fanav. So don't you do? You mock him, you scorn him, you curse him until he gets back on the right path. Punishment. Not deterrent. Punishment. And the truth is, this is really around the central theme of Cherem. And I quoted here an excellent article from two people by the name of Turiel Rashi and Hananel Rosenberg, which I saw in a share that Rabbi Zirin gave, actually. I believe it was last year, but I did find it online. There were a couple of missed copies that he must have gotten from somewhere else. But yes, it talks about, it's basically, you know, a two-page article, which I'm truthfully happy not to go through all of this right now. I mean, it just gives you a huge amount of content in the actual article. This is just some very, very small sections of it, talking about shaming as punishment, talking about shaming as communal pressure as a cherem, and then social media shaming for people who refuse to give gittin to their wives in Israel. And that discussion there, we can talk about it if you want. I'm happy to go a little bit early for Hanukkah and have you read it whenever you wish, if you want to give you a couple of minutes now. And if there's any questions that we have, we can discuss them. But I think we'll sort of stop the recording here and we'll let people sort of read through it. If they want to go home, they can go home. If they don't want to go home, they can stay and talk. And anyways, with that, I'll wish you a very happy Hanukkah. And hope to see you all next week.